The emphasis of recruiting well in-state is not slowing down anytime soon, and you're going to see a lot of that on display this weekend.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Wednesday. Hope everyone survived the snowstorm, the snowpocalypse in South Alabama, which is wild in and of itself. Still probably going to be a little bit cold, a little bit wet, a little bit slippery today. So obviously stay careful again today. But we're going to talk about this weekend. We're going to talk about the emphasis of recruiting in-state. We've been harping on it, but we got a little bit of an additional take. And we're going to look at how that's going to carry into this weekend, this massive junior day. And then we're going to have a little bit of a Jani Broom update. But before we do that, you guys need to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. You get $25 off for 2025 of your annual membership. You can get in the community, get in the conversation, jump in our game threads, jump in our recruiting threads. We do Q&As all the time. You got Zach Blackerby, Brad Law, myself, Daryl Dapprich, Taylor Korn, and we're looking to add new contributors here for 2025 and really build this thing. Take the momentum that we built last year and really, really push forward for 2025. So definitely join in on the fun. Now's the time. And you can save big at the same time. So check us out, thebarnauburn.com. The in-state flavor, the in-state emphasis is not slowing down anytime soon. Auburn's going to, this is not a fluke. This is not something that was just a last year's class. This is something that's going to continue. This is something that the staff has made, particularly Hugh Freeze, has made a point to say, we are going to recruit the state of Alabama at a high level. We are going to just beat the doors down on the high schools in-state. We're gonna make a massive push to make Auburn a bigger player in the state of Alabama. And you're going to see that play out this weekend. This weekend, obviously, is Auburn's huge junior day. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. A lot of Alabama flavor is going to be there. There's going to be a lot of in-state flavor over the weekend. You're going to have 6 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama visiting Auburn this weekend. You're going to have Sadarian Morgan. You're going to have Hezekiah Harris. You're going to have Bodney Cleveland. You're going to have Shadarius Tootle. You're going to have Jermichael Garrett, and you're going to have Marquez Daniel. And we've talked about all of those guys at some point in time on the show, again, at some point in time. So those are 3 of those guys are already committed to you, but 6 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama in your big junior day, you're trying to get as many of that top 10 here. And many of those top-rated guys in the top half of that state of Alabama class, you're trying to get them here. So you can go ahead and make that impression on them. A lot of those guys have already visited at some point in time. So it's just another chance to bring the big dogs in and make it work. Get them fired up about Auburn. Get them fired up about the future and what Auburn's doing in-state. You're going to be told a lot that it doesn't matter. You're going to be told, hey, it's just recruiting the state of Alabama. It's just whatever. It doesn't matter. You got to have a national footprint. Tom Luganbill went on our big show, the next round's the big show, last week, and he had some very interesting point, and he looks at it closer than anybody. And I want to play this clip for you and let you make your own opinion, make up your mind on what you think about it.
The most underrated state over the last 20 years of not just personnel and players, but players that have panned out, right, is the state of Alabama.
Wow.
In fact, it's hard to find a close second. And I'm going back to the 06 class. All right, so we're going way back there.
There you go. The most underrated state. He talked about the top states, Georgia, I think Texas, California. Those states are probably the top states. Florida's in there. But when you talk about most underrated, most pound for pound, per capita, able to produce high level talent, Alabama's up there. He said it's hard to find a close second. So you're going to hear it doesn't matter if you recruit the state of Alabama well. It doesn't matter if you do this in state. It's not as big of a deal as maybe Auburn fans or Auburn in general is making it. And the problem is yes, Tom Luganville is correct that you can go all the way back to 2006. You can go all the way back to 2006 and show like a track record of success. But the thing is, more recently, you're having more and more top 100 players come out of the state of Alabama. The state of Alabama is not only just having just regular old talented kids, you're having some of the top half, not even top half, you're having some of the top end talent in the whole country come out of the state of Alabama. You're starting to see national players come in, you know, your Ohio State, your Oregon's coming into Alabama because Alabama's producing some of the top players in the whole country. So that's a big deal. So no matter what anybody says, you can just simply look at that fact right there and understand that recruiting the state of Alabama is important. And when you're here, and a lot of these prospects are probably within, you know, 200 miles of you, you can get a lot of, you can cast you don't even have to cast a huge net. You can really target in, really hone in on those guys and make a lot of impact on rebuilding your roster with some very talented kids. And Auburn's going to really push this weekend. I'm sure they're going to push that. They're going to push, hey, you already got three guys in the boat. One of the guys that's visiting is committed to Alabama. Maybe it's seven out of the top 10 already. I'll have to go back and check. But you got Zion Gibson, who's Alabama's lone commit, who's also coming. You don't think they're going to play that up? You don't think they're going to say, hey, look, you got three guys in state already committed. You probably got two other of these other guys that are leaning that way. Why don't you jump in with them? You know, why don't you come on board as well? I think they would really love to add Zion Gibson to this class as well. So the flavor's not changing. The strategy's not changing. And I think it's going to pay huge dividends. If you can win on the field, you can establish something with the regime change in Tuscaloosa and the lack of seemingly desire to make a huge emphasis in state. The door's open. If you can just walk through it, he can slam it on the other side. If he can actually produce it on the field, because he understands it, he gets it as far as the importance of recruiting in this state. So, and they're doing it at a really high level. There's a very intriguing visitor coming this weekend along the lines of that state of Alabama theme. Just came out yesterday that I want to talk about for a second, because I think this kid could be really, really special. It's going to be a tough pull in general, but hey, you get him on campus, you never know what happens. But yesterday, a very intriguing player was added to the list. His name is Xavier Crowell. Okay. He's a 2027 commit that reclassified yesterday. I'm sorry, not commit. 2027 recruit that reclassified yesterday to the 2026 class. And I know you may be thinking, okay, what's the big deal about that? Why does that even matter? Well, you're talking about potentially the top player in the state of Alabama for 2027. Reclassing to the class of 2026, and he's already the number 11 overall player in the state of Alabama. So he went 1 year up, and he jumped everybody in the 2026 class and went all the way up to number 11. And quite frankly, he's going to be way higher than that. By the time this season's said and done, by the time that everybody can get eyeballs on him, he is going to be way higher than 11th. In the state of Alabama. ESPN doesn't even have him ranked yet. So that's going to factor into that ranking. Again, it's hard to take a kid like that and just as soon as he reclasses, have a ranking ready for him. So they're going to have to I'm sure, watch some more film, compare him to what they see. And then when he gets to this camp stuff, when he, you know, spring will be a big evaluation period for these sites. And then once he starts hitting these camps in the summer, I think his recruitment and his stock is going to really explode. He's from Jackson, Alabama. I talked about this last week when we talked about state of Alabama recruiting. I talked about this last week, especially when we talked about quarterbacks and we're talking about the importance of going to get, you know, maybe getting a guy early in the fold like Landon Duckworth, because Jackson has so much talent right now. And I mentioned there was going to be a possible reclassification, and it was Xavier Crowell. I've seen him play in person. I've seen him play. I've seen a lot of highlights of him. You're talking elite speed. You're talking track speed at 200 pounds. And he would be an upcoming junior. So, you know, the whole, we talked about, you heard it a million times. He's only 17 when you talk about Ryan Williams. Well, this is a very similar situation where you got a 200-pound dude who runs, you know, state championship level track speed in the 100-meter dash at running back. Very, very special, very elite prospect. He reclassifies on a Tuesday, and then he commits to coming to visit on his very first visit as a 2026 player in the 2026 class. He comes to visit on Saturday. I think that's big. So again, you get that news, and then all of a sudden you add a visit in to Auburn. That's your first visit as a 2026 recruit. I think that speaks volumes. And again, if you can get him in here and get talking about that, you know, that Alabama hype, that state of Alabama hype to Auburn, I think you can make some waves and make some waves early. Now, I'll say this: Jackson is a Alabama town. Their stadium is called Legion Field. Okay. They're an Alabama town. It's on highway, I guess it's 43, maybe. Whatever the highway is that goes from Mobile directly almost up to Tuscaloosa, you go right through Jackson. Okay. So that you're talking about a bunch of people that's where they go to college, and they call it the university. They don't even call it University of Alabama. It's just the university. That's going to be a tough pull. And I know that Kalen DeBoer, as little emphasis as he's put as a whole on the state of Alabama, he's put a lot of emphasis on Crowell, spent a lot of time with him when the evaluation period opened. So he's going to be a tough pull. But as soon as he reclassified, he schedules a visit to Auburn. So that will be something to watch. Very intriguing. I'm very curious to see how this recruitment plays out, because typically – it just goes, you can just look over the, you know, recent history. If Hugh gets his hooks in to a state of Alabama kid, usually he's going to get him. There's a high chance he's going to get him. And if they put the emphasis on this kid, and who knows what happens with Landon Duckworth, who knows what happens with, I think it's Keon Chapman, their big four-star wide receiver. Regardless of, you know, who knows what happens with them. If they end up at Auburn, you could have, give you a better chance of landing a kid like this. So again, big visit, a lot of Alabama flavor this weekend. Should be a lot of fun to watch play out. So we'll see what happens. Want to switch gears, talked about basketball, give you a Janai Broome update. Stephen Pearl went on the next round yesterday, as he does, I think, weekly during the basketball season, and gave a little Janai Broome update. So I'm gonna play that and let you guys hear his update.
But is he starting to practice some?
Not yet. He's out of his boot, you know, so that's progress. And I would imagine, you know, as the week goes on, he'll continue to rehab his ankle with our training staff and our strength and conditioning staff, and just kind of see, you know, what his pain tolerance is and what his level of comfort is. And, you know, we leave that totally up to him. You know, if the doctors say he's cleared and Janai doesn't think that he can be 100%, then we don't want Janai to go. You know, we don't want Janai to come back until Janai is ready to come back. So, you know, it's obviously the bye week is happening at a good time for him and for us. Obviously, it's a little early. I think us and maybe Kentucky are the first ones to get byes this year. So it's the earliest bye in the SEC season, which makes for a longer end of your season. But as far as just getting healthy, obviously it's a good timing for Janai. good timing for our team to kind of get ready for this second half stretch of the season. So it's really on Janai if, you know, if he feels comfortable enough to try and give it a go in practice, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to the game, and then we'll decide from there.
To me, that's a huge update, walking without a boot. When you have an ankle injury, walking without a boot is a huge step because you're weak. You're not able to stabilize yourself. You're afraid you're gonna you also have that little fear in the back of your mind. Hey, I'm gonna step wrong and I'm gonna roll it, and I don't want to risk that. So coming out of the boot that fast, I think is a huge step. I think it's a huge update. He's already walking around without support. I think a lot of us felt like he could even maybe still be on crutches at this point in time, based off of the way he was carried off the court, you know, a lot of just initial reaction, the way he was reacting, the amount of pain that he seemed to be in. I think a lot of us felt like, man, if he can miss six games, if we can just miss six games, maybe that's a blessing. And he's already out of his boot and walking around. I think that's a massive update. Even if he's able to practice at some capacity on Thursday and Friday, it's going to be tough to expect him to play, even if he wants to play, significant minutes. I mean, remember against, I guess it was Georgia State maybe, or Georgia State when he hurt his shoulder. 4 days later, he played against Purdue and he played 30 minutes. I know that's different body parts. I know that's shoulder versus ankle, but that's only a four-day stretch. So even if he didn't practice anything for those 4 days, it's not a lot of time to really super affect your conditioning or super affect like the shape that your body's in as far as ready to go out there and put in significant minutes. He's been out for over a week now. And if he plays Saturday, I mean, that's what? That's he got hurt on a Saturday. He missed his pass. I mean, so you're talking 2 weeks. So you're talking roughly 2 weeks of no really anything. And when your ankle is hurt, obviously you can't even just run to stay in shape. You can't really do anything. So you got to take, it takes time just to be able to walk. So much less be able to go bang and play the hard physical minutes that he plays against some, you know, guys that are going to be, you know, probably going to be pushing on him a little bit extra harder to test that ankle out, you know, banging on him a little bit extra to kind of make him uncomfortable. So it's going to be tough even if he practices. Like Steven said, we'll see how it goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll see how it goes. But even if he does practice, I mean, you're talking about being out of action for quite some time and, you know, the impact that could have on your conditioning in general. I think that would be a tough to ask. It's like, man, if he does play, you know, can you play 10 to 15 minutes and not be a liability? I mean, that would be, that's almost the question you need to ask. We've seen him practice for 3 days. Can he go out there Saturday and play in sort of like an ancillary role? And can he give us 10, 15 minutes, but not be a liability? That's going to be the question to ask. I don't think there's any, it seems like it'd be a really tall ask for him to go out there and play, you know, 25, 30 minutes. Like almost seems like it'd be a guarantee that's not going to happen based off of Steven's update, unless he's just completely snowing us and just sandbagging like crazy and Janai's going to be fine. You can only do so much for conditioning while you're riding just a stationary bike. Like it's going to be a minute. I think Auburn can beat Tennessee without him. I think Auburn can go to LSU next week and beat LSU without him. So if he's not like all the way there, let's take it a little bit slower. Let's get the conditioning back at a level that it's, you know, you can play extended minutes and not be a liability. And then let's go to Oxford and break some hearts. Let's go to Oxford mad, pissed off, ready to go, and break some hearts. I think that's sort of the game that's been circled for a while anyway, especially after they knocked off Alabama, that, hey, that needs to be one. that's going to be a tough one, and we're going to go on the road. Let's just try to do everything we can to make sure he's back for that game. Again, regardless, though, it doesn't seem like he's too far away. Being out of the boot's big. No matter if he plays Saturday or not, he's not too far away. And maybe this injury was not quite as significant as we initially thought. And you can kind of play it safe. I think that's huge. That's very, very encouraging. Again, I expect him to be on crutches for at least a week or so, like not able to put pressure on it at all for a while based off of what we saw. And he's been walking around in a boot, you know, since essentially the day after. So all those signs are pointing in the positive direction of Broome coming back probably quicker than we expected. But, man, I know I'd love to watch him play Saturday, and I want to win that game really badly. I'll be there, so obviously that'll be a bonus. But this season's so much bigger than just Saturday. And it's very important that you don't push him past what he's comfortable of doing and make it be prolonged, because – it doesn't even seem like you're going to be out that much. You know, you're not going to be put out that much without him being in the lineup based off of how good you've been playing. So as long as Dylan can play and not foul, as long as Chaney can play, he plays really good at home. As long as those two things happen, I think you should be able to handle Tennessee not easily, but you should be able to win that game without him. Just shoot well, defend well, and stay out of foul trouble. And which those things you did last week at home against Mississippi State, if you do those same things, you should be able to beat Tennessee by what I would say high single digits to low double digits, 10 points or so. So we'll see what happens, but I think that's a positive update there with Janai. So, guys, thanks for listening. It's always fun. I hope y'all are able to get out and get out and about today. I'm not really sure what the deal is going to be in Auburn, Alabama, because the roads are going to be snowed up, and it's not going to get real warm today. So it's probably going to hang around for a while. So we'll see what happens. But regardless, we're going to be back every single day this week. So y'all, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll be back again tomorrow with another Barn Takeover, my favorite part of the week. So check it out, and we'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.